to me that as often as we break this bread, as we do it, we make Jesus manifest in our presence, so that whatever we need, that we've got in Jesus. So if you need anything this afternoon, as you take this bread, you're making Jesus manifest in you.
Yeah, we did. We visited a church last night, and amongst all the driving and the working and everything else, and it was really good to go and meet with family, some of who we knew at this church, two, and the other 50 or 60 we didn't, but it was good, because it's all family. They're all our brothers and sisters over in Manchester. And Betty Boswell sends her love to all them that know her. And they had a good time. And, you know, I thought we were there early, an hour and a half early. It was nothing like being early for church, is there? But they made us welcome. In fact, it was the second time yesterday that somebody wanted to feed us. We arrived there to do some work, to camp in Prestatyn. And this man who I vaguely know, who was in charge of the other company, he ran up to me and threw his arms around me and hugged me. And he says, "This is not like me, is it?" I says, "No, it's not actually, Richard. No, it's not like you at all." Eh? Have some food, have drink, have this, you know. What's happening here? Have you come on your own? No, my son's in the car. Tell him to come in and get some food. And, I mean, Andrew will tell you, not so many years ago, there were these two companies, we were arch enemies. Things have changed. God can do a work. It was really, really good. And then a bit later on, we got to this church. A trusty sat nav got us there, an hour and a half early. But we were there, no doubt, and you know, people made us welcome. And again, they wanted to feed us. But we'd just eaten, so that was unfortunate. So even Luke couldn't eat anymore. But it was nice to, you know, to just know God's blessing on the day's travelling. And praise God. Anyhow, I ramble on. I'm supposed to agree, Ellen. All right, so now Zena will tell me I start rambling. She'll be going. I don't need that for a while. No, I don't need that one yet. I've got some handouts later in here. It was really good, the chat last night. You know, we're coming right at the end of a 4 or 5 day conference that I had, and he was sort of summing it all up. We sat there and looked at Luke, and it's as if to say, "Luke was going, I think we've missed it, Dad. I think we've just come up for the crumbs, the bit at the end. We'll roll it up now. We'll be off and have a cup of tea and that," which never arrived either. And but no, the little bit he spoke for no more than he preambled longer, I think, than he did actually speak. Probably spoke for about 20 minutes, a couple of scriptures. It preambled, got us all giggling, didn't he? And got everybody at ease, and quite... Claire thought it looked like Elvis Presley. Sounded like him. Y'all doing well, y'all. And thought, oh, this brings back memories. But he was talking about future and the present and the future. The future and the present. And never mentioned the past. Never mentioned the past. Never mentioned it. And that really stuck out to me. He never said anything about that. But the bit he was looking at is your destiny is your present and your future. Or he looked at it as your future and your present, no matter which way around. You're here and now, and what's going to happen in the future is your destiny in God. Doesn't matter what's happened behind. Doesn't matter what happened yesterday. Doesn't matter what happened at dinner time. As long as you've put it right with God, if it was something that needed putting right, it doesn't matter what happened. God's only looking at now and the future. And the future's not certain, we're told in the Word. So he's looking at now. Now is the time of salvation. Not tomorrow. But thank you, Kenneth. Scripture. God's going to give us everlasting life. That just lasts a bit longer than ours. But we had to do something. We had to come to him. And I'm glad you did what you did. Because we were coming to Jesus to receive him. We were actually having to put ourselves out, use a little bit of energy to get there. And it's coming to that. Jesus sat there, he's done it all. God sat there, he's waiting. The Holy Spirit sat there waiting. And he's waiting. And he's waiting. And he's not coming to us. He says, I've done it all. You've just got to come to me. You've got to make that one step. And that used to be in the old Pentecostal, not many years ago, it was like, you know, make that step forward, just that one step. Make that effort to step towards Jesus. And that's all it takes. It's going towards him. And I was inspired by reading this article, which I'm going to take some bits out of as well. And it says, don't lose your future by looking back. So don't lose your future by looking back. So I'm going to quote some bits out of it anyhow. So have you ever noticed that thieves don't break into houses to steal the paper cups, toilet paper, Kleenex? They go for the valuables. They go for the jewellery and the plasma screen and all the expensive stuff. That's what they want. That's what they can sell on. Isn't it, Daniel? That's what they take. The expensive things, isn't it? They leave all your rubbish in your room. They didn't even tidy up, did they, afterwards? Just took the dear stuff. And the Bible says that Satan is a thief. He comes to steal, kill and destroy. And that's why Satan is after your life. Because you are valuable. You're not here by mistake. You're here for a reason. We were all there last night. For a reason. Just to hear that few minutes of what God wanted to speak to us. He got us there early. You know, he provided. He made sure we were well fed. He was looking after us. But we were all in the right place at the right time. You may not feel valuable, but you are. And that's why he's out to destroy your life. That's why you've been through what you've been through, because you're valuable to God. You're valuable to him. Every one of us. Little ones, big ones, older ones, young ones. We're all valuable. We've all got something that God wants us to do in the kingdom. Right here and now. We can encourage people, can do it. We've all got a job, anyhow. I'll not go down that line. And it says, I've learnt over several years that where the devil is concerned, nobody can fight your battle for you. Ken mentioned that earlier. You can sit and talk to him all day about your problems, but he can't do a thing about them. He can perhaps suggest some things that you might do, or I might suggest some things if you're coming to me. But at the end, you're the only one that can sort out your problems. That's what I tell them at school, the children. You know, when they're misbehaving or doing something stupid, you know, I said, why did you do that? I didn't, you made me do it. Who made you do it? No, you did it. You did those actions. It was you. You're in control of your life, and they can't get their head around that. You're in control of your own life. Nobody's in control of you. You know, you're a free agent, as Andrew would say. It's up to you and God. I've also discovered that you will never outgrow warfare. You simply have to learn to fight. To me, the key word in this statement is you. You will never outgrow warfare. You have to learn to fight. You've got to fight your battles and God. But we're told that our warfare is not going round with fisticuffs. You know, not giving black eyes and old-fashioned, isn't it, and noses and things like that. But it's spiritual warfare. It's taking the word, right? And later on, I've got to, because Ellen was giving out the answers last week, so we've got to give out this thing. We're giving out the answer. So some inspiring words. You can put your names in those. Inspiring words to help you through situations. So you can take them home, put your name in, and be inspired and build yourself up and get through these problems. I mean, we'd like to ask other people to come to the pastor, Pastor, can you pray? Can you sort this problem out for me? And he'll say just what Ken would say. Well, no, I can't sort it out for you. I can help you along the way. We could pray together, maybe, if you're not strong enough. But in the end, it's up to you. You've got to stand on your own two feet, as we tell our children. You know, at times, we can only do so much, and then we have to let go, like the eagle. It lets go, it just pushes the eaglet out and off you go. And if it doesn't go, it catches it and tends it back, and then another push, and eventually it gets the idea, oh, these flappy things, I've got to do something with them. Oh, I've cracked it now, I know what to do with them. I'd say it's just standing back. So, the Satan doesn't care how many times you come to church, doesn't care what how many books you've got, how much you read, how many services we go to like yesterday, which is not wrong to go to them, it's good, it builds you up, it's nice to see brothers and sisters and see how things work in other cities. But it doesn't matter about it, it's up to us. He's out for your life. He's out for your testimony. He's out to destroy your future. He does not want you to be doing what God has put you on the earth to do. He will do anything to keep you from that happening. And one way is keep you tormenting your past. So keep using the past. The thing that somebody, that chap, I don't even know his name. Was it Bill? Bob? Bill? I don't even know the chap called last night. Bob. You know, never mentioned the past. He says your destiny is just relying on your future and the present. And you're shaping your destiny by what you do today. So we've all been in battle, we've all struggled with things that come up. You know, I mean, I really did feel awful like I got in last night and I thought I might have put that person off from driving, you know, you might not really like driving in the dark on the windy lanes and things like that. But too late afterwards, but you can just go to God and say, make it right, God. But you do get frustrated at times, especially when you've been up a long time, you just want to get off home and still got to do another 2 hours of a job and things like that. But we all blow it, we all make mistakes. But that's not the end. That's just the beginning again. And then she goes on to quote here about a consultant. He says, I've heard a story about a consultant who asked people what one most important thing was in their life. And the answer he received over and over again was, I want my life to count. We all want it to count. Even if it's just in a family situation, you want to be the best dad or the best mom or the best son. You know, you want it to count. You want to, if you're a musician, you want to be the best. You might never be the best, but you've got to aim and strive for the best. But you've got to, you want it to count. You want to be, look back and think, well, I did all I could. He also asked the greatest fear. What was found was most people confided that their greatest fear was that their life would be meaningless and that they would die with their potential untapped. And we did a whole series, or Andrew did some years ago, on your potential. You know, it's in there, you just got to let it out. We've all got things that we're really good at, and we don't know. Little story. My mum's got a decorator at the moment. You know, well, they're decorators, but this chap used to be a miner. You know, and no money in miners strike, so he went to help a friend who was a decorator. Thought, I like this decorating, Lord, it's great. It's just him. He went on a course, never went back to the pit. He just set himself up decorating. And as far as I can see, he's done a brilliant, you know, he's really good at it. It's him. You know, it was probably forced down the wrong aisle like I was. You've always got to go into the steel industry, the coal, you know, but you've all got to find your own niche, haven't you? Well, that's it, jobs for life. You've got jobs for life, but I mean, it just wasn't, was it? But we've all got something that we're really good at. The potential, we've got to get that potential out. Well, I want you to know that one way that Satan can keep you from your potential, tapping your potential, that God has given you, is by keeping you locked in the past. So we've got to remember that Jesus came to sort it all that out. And when you took that step forward, said to Jesus, I want to know you, I want to come to you, you can sort it all out for me. Cut it off there. Can't go backwards. Well, you can go backwards if you want to, but it's not wise to go backwards. It's all behind you. You've got to actually turn around to see your past. And we're just going to talk about one person who did turn around. I wish you hadn't. Oh, I hate these glasses. Because I can't see you with them and I can't see this without them. What? It's boring, yeah? All right, okay. I'll slow down then. In Luke 17:32, there are only three words. It says, remember Lot's wife. The story of Lot's wife in Genesis 19 starts in verse 17. And it says, escape for your life, don't look behind you. That's what she was told. Don't know the story. God was coming down to sort out this city, and he was letting Lot and his wife go and family, but on one condition: they didn't look back. They just got the stuff and they left, and they didn't look back. Lot and his wife were being saved from destruction from Sodom and Gomorrah. God told them one thing: don't look back. God just wanted to save them and take them to the new life. He had a whole new plan for them, and all he said was, don't look back. So it's simple, really, isn't it? Just don't look back. Grab everything and go that way. Well, know the story. She looked back. She turned back because she just had to look back. And she lost her future. She looked back and she lost her future because the story has it that she turned into a pillar of salt, which is not much use unless you like salt. And nice on chips, but it's not much use if you're trying to live, is it? You know, if you're a bit stiff. So she ruined the future by looking back. Disobeyed God. He'd got a fantastic future for her. When God told Lot's wife not to look back, he was telling her that everything he had for her was ahead of her. He was telling her that he'd forgiven everything that was behind. Don't glance back. Everything's new in front. So I believe God's telling us to look at this. Don't look back at you. Don't look backwards at your past. Can't alter your past. Can't alter what happened in the exams only this week. It's past now. Can't alter that exam. You can alter the result later on, but you can't alter what's happened. It's gone. So whether it was a good one or a bad one, it's immaterial now. It's gone. Somebody sat marking it. Probably not at this minute, but is that going to mark it? But God's interested in the future. He's interested in the now and the future. He's interested in now. Because now is when we can do things. Now is when we can attend to people's problems. Now is we're in church. God said, God. It must be your hair. Anyhow. He'll get me later. Hallelujah. That Ken said, you know, if you've got a problem, come to Jesus. There's healing in communion. There's healing in that time of communion. Just come there and receive it. Just say, Jesus, I'm coming. I'm coming to receive my healing. Tell him what you want. Earlier we had some talk time with God. That's what we've been looking at on the Wednesdays. Talk time with God. Trying to get prayer down to its basic form and so people understand what it is. It's just communication with God. Talking with him. And a conversation is two-way. So we're expecting God to talk back to us. And this is what they were talking about as well with the sound. When God's presence is there and it's actually audible. That we hear God come in. And there's power and things change. So it's not looking back. We can use rush back some. We can use past to inform us for future, for now and for future, but we don't need going back to it. It's finished. We can't ever go, if we're gonna go back to it, we're gonna regret, aren't we? We're gonna go backwards into things that we don't really want. So don't lose your future by looking back. Because God doesn't talk about going backwards. Everything he's looking at is going forwards. He's always looking at stretching us and taking us on. So we've got a few scriptures to look up now, just to keep you awake and get you going round. So we're going to look at Numbers first. Old Testament, Numbers 23. This is why we need to believe God. Numbers 23 and verse 19, it says, God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repenteth. Hath he said, and shall he do it not? For he hath spoken, and he shall not make it good. And shall he not make it good? So what he's saying is, God's not a man that he should lie. And what he says, he will do. He will bring it to pass. He will do it. Not a problem. 2 Chronicles 20. So this is God looking forward. This is God saying, yes, you can do it. You can change. So it's 2 Chronicles 20, 22. And it's about praise. And it says, and they began to sing and to praise the Lord. And the Lord set ambushes against the children of Ammon, Moab and Seir, which were come against Judah, and they were smitten. So if somebody's going to get in your way, God's going to sort them out. Remember, we talked about this only a few weeks ago, using the same scripture about praise. We started off at the beginning. Okay, we're going to praise God. And he'll come in and he'll sort out the enemies. We haven't got to worry about that. We've just got to go and do what he's asked us to do. Also in Psalm 89, verse 15. Psalm 89 and verse 15. It says, blessed is the people that know the joyful sound they shall walk, O Lord, in the light of thy countenance. So we're going to walk in God's light, God's sound. God's there to protect us. Oh, he's here, not there. He's here. He's promised us long life. Ken's talked about long life in Hebrews 2. He talked about long life. So we know we can rely on what's written down, because God is not a man that he should lie. So it's Hebrews 2:14 and 15. He says, since therefore these his children share in the flesh and blood and in the physical nature of a human being, he himself in a similar manner partook of the same nature, that by going through death he might bring to naught and make of no effect him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and also that he might deliver and completely set free all those who through the haunting fear of death were held in bondage through the course of their lives. That's us. So he sorted out him under our feet, and he said, I've sorted out your life as well. Matthew 4 and verse 19. Familiar passage. Matthew 4 verse 19, it said, and he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. And it's the emphasis on God says, I will do it. Not you will do it. He says, follow me and I will make you. I will do it. You've just got to listen and do. Ephesians. You can follow this, but I've quoted this out of the message. So it's Ephesians 1 verse 11. So it's Ephesians 1 verse 11. It says, "In him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will." And in the Message it says, "It's in Christ that we find out who we are." So if you're in Christ, you'll find out who you are, what your potential is, where you're going. John 20. John 20 and verse 21. God says he's going to send us. "Then said Jesus to them again, 'Peace be unto you. As the Father has sent me, so I send you.'" And it goes on saying, "And when he had said this, he breathed on them, and they received them the Holy Spirit," the Holy Ghost in this one. So God's going to send us, but he's not sending us alone. He's not just sending you out. I was reading the story of Gladys Aylward not so long ago. And she was... she just knew she'd got to go. And a man said, "You can't go, you're a woman for a start. You can't go. And you've no money and you just can't go." But she did go. She eventually got there. And she saved some 600 children's lives in the end. And man greatly honoured her for this. But she just said no. God said, "I've got to go out and do that." She said, "I don't put children above anybody else," she says, "but that was the task that God gave me to do at the time, and I did it." And then she went on to do other things, but she did that task that she was given. But she knew she wasn't alone. She knew that she'd nobody to support her. So she knew in times in the book, she just prayed to God, "What do we do next? Where's the next meal coming from?" And he'd say, "Well, the next meal's coming down the road on the back of a donkey, or whatever it is, or I want you to take him to such and such a town." And he gave her the step by step. So he's not sending us out alone. It's not our ideas. It's God's ideas. So if it's somebody else's ideas, if I'm doing a job for Andrew, like yesterday, you know, he'll tell me what he wants doing. He'll tell me what he wants delivering, how he wants it setting up. And so I'm giving the information I need. Some things I have to work out for myself, like where to put the ignition key in the van. He doesn't tell me that, right? Where to go and fetch the van from, because I know that. But the specific details of a certain job, that he'll give me those, so I know where I'm going. I've got to pass these on to Ken, because he's going to retrieve all this thing in a week's time. So he needs to know where I've hidden all this, where it is all, what he's got to fetch back. So there's certain parts of it, but he'll not need to know certain parts, because he'll know how to drive a van. Well, hopefully. But God will give you the bits you need. He'll not keep going over, "Oh, by the way," because you know that. Right, I ramble on. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse 10 and 11, I think. It says, "And if thou draw out the soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones, and thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose water will not fail." So at the moment where fuel's dear and food's going up and everything like that, God says, "Don't worry about it. As long as you're doing what I've asked you to do, everything will be in place for you. Everything will be there." David says in one of the Psalms, isn't it, that he says never seen the Lord's people forsaken, never begging bread, never seen them begging bread. And it goes on. We've got to be careful with our words, that we can accomplish everything. It says in James 3:5, we can accomplish everything with our mouth, or we can destroy it with our mouth. So words are really important. God's got a plan for us. It says in Romans 8:28, a plan for our good. We can have a look at that one if you like. Romans 8:28. We've just got to start believing these and putting them into practice. Romans 8:28, and it says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God." So there's a prerequisite, you've got to love God. "And to them who are called according to his purpose." Well, if you love God and you've accepted God, you're called to his purpose. So he's only looking after your good. He'll never do you evil. And God is for us, it says in Romans 8:31. "And what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" If the creator of the universe is for us, is there anybody bigger who's against us? No. God is for us. So it says in one translation, who can successfully be against us? Things will come against us, we know that. Also in Romans 8:38-39. So it's just encouraging words. "For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So in there you could put us, you could put your name in there. Just like we were looking at the other week when Andrew was on the other Wednesday. Put your name in. He said, "No height, no depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate Philip from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord." So get your name in there. Claim these promises. Put them into practice. Just remind God. He hasn't forgotten, but he likes to hear them. Now here's the one. I'm going to find Habakkuk now. It's right at the end of the Old Testament, just before Zephaniah and Haggai and Malachi. You might have to use your contents page. So Habakkuk 2 and verse 3. Habakkuk 2 and verse 3, "For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it shall speak and not lie. Though it tarry, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry." It's about the vision, about what we've all got inside us, what we want to see happen in the church. In this one, aim to do a Bible school, you know, to teach others, to bring others back, to be useful members of God's society and to civilization. And it says it might not happen overnight, but it will happen because God said it will happen. God said this will be a well of freedom. That was what it was built on, this fellowship, a well of freedom. It would be free in Christ, not free to do anything you like, but free in Christ. But a well of freedom. It would be built up, not knocked down. And the last one we're going to look at is in Proverbs. Proverbs 3 and verse 5. Proverbs 3 and verse 5, it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on your own understanding." And carry on and read verse 6. It says, "In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Be not wise in your own eyes, Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy navel and marrow and to thy bones. And then it goes on to also say, honour the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase, so that thy barns shall be filled with plenty and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. All linked together. So it's trusting God and showing him you really love him, and look what it knocks onto. You know, healthy bones, healthy bodies. Health. Healthy bank accounts. Amen. Health, be able to pay your bills. Not be in debt to anyone. Be able to pay other people's bills off. Be a blessing to them. Hallelujah. So let's remember Lot's wife. Let's remember what she did. And let's remember not to do it. If God says move on, which he is doing, he's saying move on, move forward. Let's remember Lot and not look back. Let's look forward. So to help you in your struggles, this is out of one of Jerry Saville's magazines, but it's just a one sheet, and it says inspiring words. And he just quoted some different psalms, a lot of them are psalms, different scriptures. You can put your name in there for different little situations, just the one page, really encouraging. Put your name in there, it'll build you up and move you on. Because God's interested in now and tomorrow. Because yesterday, whatever happened yesterday is gone. Can't affect it. Finished. Their meetings in Manchester may have been fantastic, but they're finished now. They've got to take what they learnt from that and move on and put it into today and into the future. And we have to do that with what we learn today, what we learn on a Wednesday, what we learn from our own Bible study and prayer time. Got to take it. Little nuggets. Think, I'm going to try that out. Well, we shouldn't say try. I'm going to put that into practice, we should say. Because trying out, it's a bit of a weak idea. It's a bit of, well, if it doesn't work, I'll cast it aside. But I'm going to put that into being. So it says here, it says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. It's a good one to start on. Many are the afflictions of the righteous. But the Lord delivereth them out of them all. Right? So there should be enough. Monitor. Thank you. Still asleep from yesterday, aren't you? So if you remember nothing else, just remember Lot's wife. Don't look back. Look forwards.